Good evening, groovy guys and groovy gals. This is Mr. Michael Dean, broadcasting from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And it is Easter, and celebrating Easter over on our other correspondence board, we have two fiends filling in for Mr. Nima Vidotti, who's not here today. And who we got there, Ben Quaker? Who's Ben Quaker?
Hey, it's me, Ben Stone, coming from southern Alabama tonight, today, actually. And who knows where I'll be tomorrow.
Yeah, it's Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, from Bad Quaker Podcast at BADQUAKER.com. And in the middle of the U.S., we got in the failed state project of near Detroit, we got Lusander Fiend. Hello, Lusander.
Well, hi, howdy, Michael. Howdy, Ben. I am broadcasting live and worldwide from the windowless city.
Yeah, I think Ben's got an Easter story for us. Now, first of all, you're a Quaker, and why don't Quakers celebrate Easter? You're good Christians, but why don't you celebrate Easter?
We don't celebrate any particular days for any particular reasons. You know, Sundays, Saturdays don't mean anything to us. Sundays don't mean anything to us. Christmas, whatever magic day that a person thinks is different from others, we do not recognize as being any different. We attempt to live our lives according to our beliefs and not pick out certain days and behave differently just because you have an arbitrary day that you picked.
Every day is the Lord's Day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. What are you doing today, Lou, for Easter?
I think when I get done with the show, I'm going to go out and do some fly fishing. I've already got my waders on.
Nice.
Now, what kind of bait do you use to catch those flies?
Worms.
Mew! All right. It's the afternoon Mew crew here. All right, Ben, what's your Easter story?
Okay, so this happened
Wait. Gather up your neighbors and sit around while Uncle Ben tells you the story of Easter back in the day.
Round up your neighbors.
Yes, round up your neighbors.
A long time ago. No, this happened probably about, let's see, I'm going to make a wild guess and say the early 90s, right around 1990 or so. And it happened to some of my relatives. One of them was in his teens and was doing a little experimentation, as they call it, with substances that are not approved of in most society.
Mind-melting substances.
Yeah, and it was actually the first time that he had experimented with that particular type of
mind-melting substances.
Yeah, and he there was a standing order with his mom and dad. You know, they did not approve of such
mind-melting substances.
But they always told the kids, if you're going to do that, come home. Don't go wandering around in the neighborhood. Don't be drunk driving, or don't be, you know, out where you're going to get hurt, where you're going to get arrested, where you're going to, you know, anything like that. Come home. And we don't approve of what you're doing. But if you have to do that, I would rather you do it here where you're safe than be out, hiding in a park.
I'd rather have you do it here where I can shun you.
Yeah, exactly. So he and his friends were, you know, to the point in the evening of where they realized that they were not in control of themselves any longer, and they decided to go back to his house, where his mom met them and said, you know, hey, I'll make you something to eat, and you guys can go in there in the bedroom and relax.
Listen to
and
Pink
try
Floyd.
Exactly. Maybe watch Pink Floyd with what's the movie in the background?
The Wall.
The movie that synchronizes with the anyway, beside the point.
Dorothy.
So yeah.
Wizard of Oz.
So they go into so she fixed them some food and they ate, and then they went in to try to relax and let their brains
melt.
You know, watch the walls melt and yeah, see the ceiling drip and so forth. And what they didn't think of was that their mother had worked with the Red Cross on a regular basis. And so she had volunteered to be the Easter bunny at the regular Red Cross Easter egg hunt that was down at the park every Easter. And so she had the Easter bunny costume. And, you know, some of those Easter bunny costumes, they emphasize the front teeth on the rabbit just a little bit too much. And some of them make the smile just a little too smiley. And some of those eyes on those rabbit heads are little, you know, a little too big. And so she waited until the guys were all relaxed in the room and not thinking about anything with their minds all melting and blending. And she put on that rabbit's head and came sneaking into the room and scared the holy moly out of them because they were not expecting a giant rabbit to come into the room in the middle of the night and start growling and grabbing at them and so forth. So that was her method of trying to scare them straight and give them a little lesson about what substances they shouldn't take and when they should and shouldn't trust their mom.
Lou, comments?
Well, I won't be wearing a bunny costume when I'm out fishing, but it sounds like a great story.
Sounds like the movie Donnie Darko. You ever seen that movie?
Hmm.
It's got
a long time ago.
Really creepy, recurring rabbit type scary figure in it. It's basically about a young man who is schizophrenic and has an imaginary friend that's a really scary rabbit.
So today is April 20th. That's 420. Do we want to be adult about that, or do we want to be crazy? You know,
we could discuss people. We could discuss the Beavis and Butthead implications of that.
Today, for anybody that doesn't know, today Porkfest tickets are on special sale today only. You can save $10 if you get over to porkfest.com. That's PORCFEST.com. And if you buy your tickets to Porkfest today, then you can get them at a $10 discount. They're $50 today.
Yeah, I did. I got mine. DJ and I got ours. We're going to Porkfest. It's going to be good. It's going to be nifty. I've never been. You've been, Ben, haven't you? Have you been, Lou?
Nope, this will be my first time.
But you've been to something else. What's the thing that you like to go to that's closer to the failed state project, but very much free and not failed state?
The Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. And this year, it will be going on in August, the 22nd through the, oh gosh, what is it, the 25th or something like that. And I got the information here. Yeah, August 22nd through the 25th. It starts on Friday at 10 a.m. and it goes until Monday at noon. And it's going to be on the west side of the state today. So all you folks out in Chicago and west of Michigan that want to come out, it's going to be a bit closer and it'll be further away from the failed state.
The Midwest is the best. Get there and Lou will do the rest.
I attended that last year and had a lot of fun. It was really a good time. I took advantage of them and didn't actually get up and make a speech. I just hung around and let other people do that and just relaxed and watched the bugs and listened to the birds and squirrels.
You also put up some speakers and played Freedom Fiends. I saw a picture of it. It looked pretty cool. It was like 25 people sitting in folding camping chairs, sipping tasty beverages as the sun went down further in the sky, listening to Freedom Fiends on loud speakers. It was kind of neat. It's not the way I picture radio or podcasts general talk media being generally consumed, but it was pretty cool. I liked seeing that picture.
Yeah, we sat there and watched the cicada hawks feasting on the cicadas out of the forest, and listening to the Freedom Fiends on the speaker.
Is that kind of the grown-up adult version of taking mind-melting chemicals and listening to Dark Side of the Moon while watching Wizard of Oz?
The cicada hawks were amazing to watch. They were a big wasp-looking thing, monstrous wasp-looking thing that's like half the size of a baseball. And they hunt cicadas, and it's really kind of an interesting animal.
Yeah.
Now, one of those cicada hawks wound up in somebody's shirt, and you should have seen him dancing around trying to get it out. I thought he was going to pull his piece and plug it.
Did he actually get stung?
No, he didn't.
I wonder if they sting. Do you know?
Cicadas? I'm not sure.
Not in the larval stage. They're really interesting and creepy to me. Aren't those the things that live underground for 17 years and then crawl up and metamorphize on a tree and leave an exoskeleton that looks like a zombie has risen from it? It splits open and then the bug flies out and they live for a few months and then die. Isn't that bug?
Yeah, That's the cicada, yeah. And then the cicada hawk is a giant wasp-like creature that feeds on them.
Wow. Wow. Do you use those for fishing, Lou?
Not generally. Not generally. We don't have sharks here because those things are pretty huge. As a matter of fact, it's up and running for becoming the new state bird.
The cicada hawks do a weird thing. They don't actually eat the cicadas. They take them down into a hole and bury them, and they inject their eggs into them so that they stay alive. And when their eggs hatch, the baby hawk, being a bug, not a bird, eats the live cicada. It's really weird.
Nature. Interesting planet you guys have got here. I like to visit.
It sounds kind of like the movie Alien.
Yeah.
Very much, yeah. Yeah.
Which kind of sounds like everything that happens in Washington, D.C.
Now, could you imagine the cicada hawk shouting down into the little burrow saying, "It puts the lotion on"?
Another movie reference. That's our second of the day.
Yeah. Now, how are cicadas like the government?
Well, they live off of the labor of others. Although they're not like the government because they actually do the trouble of real work, whereas the government doesn't really do any work.
Yeah. And the government spends 17 years doing nothing and then lives off of the blood of others. No, I'm mixing it up here. Go ahead, Lou.
The cicada has a decency of leaving this earth after just a couple months.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Which goes to, I've heard people say that their favorite president was JFK because he wasn't around long enough to do much damage.
I like William Henry Harrison.
Too soon? Yeah, didn't William Henry Harrison serve a month and then die of a flu or something?
Yeah, he gave his inaugural address, and it was extremely long and really bad weather, and he ended up with pneumonia that he never recovered from. There is some speculation that he was actually poisoned and that he didn't die of an illness.
Huh. We'll be back with more historical facts and conjecture on the Freedom Fiends. Ben Stone, Bad Quaker, Lusander Fiend Edition, Easter 2014.
Meow.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Here we go. Freedom Fiends. Yeah. So Lou was just telling me that I'm the only person he emails. That's kind of weird. Is that true, Lou?
Pretty much, yeah.
Why is that? I mean, I'm honored, but...
I just don't use a lot of email. And usually if I send messages, it's over the Face Spaces or text message via the phone.
I was going to say, I thought maybe you only knew old people, but it sounds like you only know younger people than me who are like, email? That's for grandmas and old people and politicians.
Yeah, I'm kind of diverse. I know old people and young people.
You speak old speak and young speak?
I'm multilingual.
So speak some new speak here about what's going on in Michigan.
Hmm. Well, actually, I don't know if you could call it new speak. I think you would call it good speak.
Yeah.
As I mentioned in the
last
segment.
That was a 1984 reference, new speak. It's the language in the book 1984 where the government has dumbed down language so people can't have any critical thought and understand what's wrong with the government. And that's was predicted in that book in 1948, but it's happening now a lot. Like Ministry of Education. Go on with your bad self there, Lou.
But anyway, I mentioned the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest in the last segment, and that is coming up this August 22nd through the 25th, Friday through Monday. It's a 4-day event. Early registration is currently going on right now, and for the entire weekend, camping activities and stuff, it is a whopping 40 Federal Reserve notes.
That's cheaper than Pork Fest.
It is. And that covers camping. And you got to bring your own food and everything. But $40, you can't beat it. And there's an alternative currency discount of $32 for the adults And that's if you're using Bitcoin or silver, gold.
Do you take Namecoin?
I don't know if they're taking Namecoin.
They should. Nobody takes Namecoin. People just use it for registering DNS. I wouldn't say nobody takes it. The Freedom Fiends take it for ads or for donations. I guess we'd take it for buttons, too, if someone really wanted to buy buttons with Namecoin. But I'm going to have buttons at Porkfest, too. And what can they expect? What could a goer expect at this event?
Well, some of us went out there to do a little recon of the facility last weekend. And it's 300 acres of private property. It's nice and wooded. There's plenty of hiking trails, biking. There's a nice little lake out there with a beach. And the facility will be providing canoes. There's, I think I saw about 8 or 9 canoes down there that you can use. If you want to go kayaking, you'll need to bring a kayak. They don't have those. They also have a little steam bath house down there by the beach. And it's a really beautiful property. The main camping area is about probably between 1/2 and 3/4 acres, and there's plenty of little alcoves in there for people that want to go back in the woods a little bit. And there's also plenty of overflow. There's also 2 cabins that are right by the main area, and it's kind of like a barrack-style cabin, but it looks pretty comfy. And there's showers, bathrooms, water that's very close.
Does the price of admission include the camping facility, or is that separate?
If somebody wants to use a cabin, there's going to be a separate fee for that. And also, kids' prices are half of adult prices.
Nice, nice. You're going to be speaking there, Ben?
I won't. I've got a wedding I have to officiate right in the same time frame that's several states away. But now, Lou, last year there was, how do we say this tactfully? There was a separation. There was family-friendly areas and activities, and then there were more adult activities and areas. So I assume there will be a separation again this year of the two, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, always. Yeah, always a good time. Nobody judges. Everybody enjoys themselves.
So a family doesn't have to worry. They can be there. You know,
the family doesn't have to worry that they're going to have to hear somebody making their family or see it.
Well, last time there were a lot of, shall we say, water sports.
I don't know what that is. You young people are making me uncomfortable.
Oh, that would be the skinny dipping synchronized water dancing.
Okay. Yeah. Ben used the wrong phrase there. That's different. That's something else. So anyway, moving along, this sounds like a wonderful event. I don't think I'll be there, but it sounds great. We only get a few. DJ only gets a few days of days off each year. She loves her job. It's a great job, but she's important at her job, which is a good kind of job to have, so she can't leave for very long, and we're going to Porkfest this year, and that's our one trip out. We'll be back with more on Bunny and Egg Day on the Freedom Fiends with Ben Stone and Lusander Fiend.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
Brink of Freedom is a community-based network and magazine whose mission is to provide you with the information you need on your walk to freedom. From homesteading and gardening to tactical and firearms, Brink of Freedom provides everything you will need to gain the knowledge to be self-sufficient. If government doesn't like it, Brink of Freedom will cover it. Come share your knowledge and gain the knowledge of industry professionals within the community. Become a premium member and gain access to unlimited content and discounts on products and services from our merchants. Use the discount code FIENDS at brinkoffreedom.net.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair, or Libertarian Paradise, and help me work toward it. Who will build the roads? You and me. Who will draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com. Yes, 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 indeed. Got my Easter eggs. Got my chocolate bunny cats. Rabbit. Chocolate rabbit. And we got some more from Lou Sanderfien about the Midwest Free Love Festival. Isn't that what it's called, Lou?
It's the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. And what I have here is an email that one of the participants sent me. It was a review of last year. And, well, here it goes. I first heard the word voluntarist last summer. That's a whole nother story. Looked it up. Doesn't seem like a bad thing. The next day in the comments section of somebody's post on the Face Spaces, I saw a picture of a cop block door hanger come back with a warrant and bureaucrats not welcome. Since I have a doormat nailed to the back wall of the house that says come back with a warrant, I asked, where can I get these? I got a reply that said, come to the Liberty Fest and you can get them there. Going against my nature, I got the info, sent my payment. It was just days before the event. I loaded my Jeep and drove across the state to meet people I'd never met and get involved with a group I knew nothing about. Wow. When I arrived, the first person I met was Danny. I explained that I knew nobody and knew nothing about their group, but that I came with an open mind and a willingness to learn. I was greeted like a member of the family. I had a wonderful weekend. Some of the ideas were a bit shocking in the beginning because of 56 years of indoctrination. Any questions I had were answered calmly, intelligently, and their views made sense. It turned out that I'd been trying to live a life like that all my life. I just didn't have a name for it. Bottom line, I met many wonderful people, and I've stayed in touch with most of them. I've been back to visit them, and I've met them in Kalamazoo. Great group. I intend to go to the second camp out. I can hardly wait. I might even bring friends. And I got the door hangers. Anyone hesitating because of shyness or whatever, don't show up. You will be treated like family. I'm very glad to have met these folks. And one of the things about Liberty Fest or a Pork Fest or something like that is you will meet some of the nicest people out there. They're very friendly. They're very helpful. And if you're not sure, you know, if you want to try individual liberty as a lifestyle, come take it for a test drive. See what it's like.
I remember that guy. He was really nice, and he hung around even when we Michael was talking before the break about how we had a speaker out there, and we were playing the Fiends show and stuff. And he sat there and listened to the whole thing. I listened to it all the way through. Had questions about it. He was just super friendly guy, and I remember that. Do you know? Can you see his face? Who that is, Lou?
Yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, I saw him last weekend when we did our recon out to Kalamazoo. He came to a meetup that we had out there.
Yeah. Well, if you see him again, tell him I said hi. He'll probably remember me.
He's probably listening.
We were both the bearded gentleman.
Yeah. He signed it. Arnie, the old bearded guy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah. He's our constitutional anarchist.
What does that mean?
It means that he drank the Kool-Aid for a long time, but he realizes a voluntary lifestyle is the best way to go. It will provide the best life for everybody, and that you just don't have to point government at people to get things accomplished.
Now, I think you just did that anyway, but go ahead and explain what voluntarist means.
Voluntarism is a non-coercive way of doing things. It is in line with the zero aggression principle that nobody has the right to initiate aggression against another person or their property without their consent. It's not pacifism. It doesn't mean don't defend yourself. It means don't hit and don't steal from other people.
Basically, everything you learned in kindergarten actually being applied as an adult.
Yeah, it's kindergarten rules, or it is the golden rule as mentioned in the Bible. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Now, what would you say to Christian conservatives who say, yeah, that's fine for Sunday school, but this is the real world and we've grown up and, you know, we live a Christian life and we know we shouldn't hit people, but sometimes you have to because that's the way the modern world is.
Well, your faith is not what you say it is. It's what you do.
Ooh.
Amen. Preach it, brother.
That's hard to live by.
You know, the thing, though, about whether we're talking about the Midwest Liberty Festival or whether we're talking about the Porcupine Festival up in New Hampshire, when you go out to these events like this, and they even have a similar one in North Carolina, and there's different ones around in different places, but whenever you go to one of these things, the one thing that you will always notice is that the people are unbelievably polite, and there is zero crime. I mean, you know, real crime where someone actually harms somebody else, someone else or their property. That just doesn't exist. There's no theft. People leave valuable things out, and no one would even think about stealing them. And in addition to that, I would say in the 95 percentile, the people are armed to the teeth.
Now, what would stop law enforcement from coming into this place, other than it's on private property, but if it's open to the public, what would be to stop law enforcement from coming in and meddling around and trying to arrest people for non-crimes at any event like this?
The non-spoken plan at Porkfest is that if a police car were to come onto the grounds, then everyone will just get in the way. And we're talking, you know, several thousand people. They literally outnumber all of the law enforcement in the entire county.
I think there would also be, I think it would be surrounded by about 100 people pointing cameras at it.
Yeah, that's the other point of self-defense. With voluntarists, filming everything is very popular.
I'd be pretty intimidated if I were a cop and went somewhere to try to meddle and be a vice cop and bust people for non-crimes, and, you know, me and my partner rolled up and 100 armed people came out pointing video cameras at me. I'd probably leave.
Well, you know, cockroaches don't like the light. They don't like to be seen. They don't like the light of day.
Bill Buebert's been calling cops cop-roaches. Now, I don't want to say all cops are bad, and I agree with Eazy-E from NWA, who said, not all cops are bad, man, just like 91% of them. And, you know, we've always said that we'll believe there's good cops when they start arresting bad cops. And I think this next story might kind of count. It's a cop who stopped a bad cop from shooting a puppy that was not a bad puppy, that actually there's footage of this puppy playing with children. And the cop that he stopped was himself. He went to shoot a dog and shot himself in the foot. But, you know, he stopped that cop, that bad cop himself, from shooting this dog, so maybe he's a good cop. Let's listen to this news, Channel 4 news stuff, NBC thing from Riverside County in California.
Riverside County Sheriff's deputy, after he came face to face with a pit bull and then accidentally shot himself. Investigators say that he fired in self-defense, but we're getting a different story from the dog's owner. NBC4's Tony Shin is live in Riverside now with video you'll only see on 4. Tony?
And Chuck, this all happened inside this yard you see behind me. This is where witnesses say a sheriff's deputy pulled out his gun when he saw that pit bull approach him.
We arrived at the scene.
I got to stop this for a second and say that the picture where he said that pit bull, there are two kids, like little girls, like age 3 and 5, petting this fierce puppy in the scene.
At the scene, just as paramedics were loading the injured Riverside County Sheriff's deputy into an awaiting ambulance. Neighbors say it all began at about 2 this afternoon when they heard gunfire coming from Eucalyptus Avenue.
We live at the corner right here, and we heard just a gunshot go off. It was like 1.
I came outside and I saw all the cops and the ambulance and the firefighters.
The deputy works in the court services department, and neighbors say he was serving an eviction notice at this converted apartment home when he was approached by this pit bull after entering a fenced-in yard.
Large pit bull breed dog attacked the deputy. In defense of himself, he shot or fired 1 round at the dog and inadvertently struck himself in the leg.
Jorge Rodriguez.
Okay, that scene was like more little children petting this puppy, like from the neighborhood, not even the kids that own the dog.
Owns the dog, which is named Precious. He says his pit bull didn't attack. She was only barking as she approached the deputy.
The officer got scared and unfortunately pulled his gun and he shot himself. He was in pain, man. I feel sorry for the officer.
In our video, you can see the deputy is conscious and sitting up with a medical wrap around his right knee. We also saw him arriving at Riverside Community Hospital, where he was taken into the emergency room. Investigators say his injuries aren't life-threatening.
If my dog's fine, he's going to be okay and, you know, get to move on to another day.
Well, as you can see, Precious was not taken away by animal services, Rodriguez says, because it's because his dog was not running loose, so his dog was not illegally running loose on the street. That's the latest from here. Reporting live in Riverside, I'm Tony Shin, NBC4 News.
Yes.
If more bad cops would only do the right thing and shoot themselves before they do something bad, then we'd all be better off.
A lot of cops shoot themselves in the foot, which leads me to think there are a lot of government people carrying guns who don't know how to carry guns.
You know, I used to live in California, and I lived in Kern County, California, in the high desert up there. And I used to quite frequently go and have different activities with the local Kern County sheriff's deputies. And I was a member of a heavy rescue squad at the time. And so we would do stuff like rock climbing and shooting and stuff. And I have to say, of all the people that I've been around who were gun owners and gun handling people, they were absolutely the worst gun handling practices of anybody I've ever known. It worried me every time that we were doing anything like that because their gun handling practices were so poor.
Wow.
Oh, there is so much in just that report. Did you hear the discomfort in the public affairs officer, spokesperson,
yes,
mouthpiece? Oh, my God.
You know, he was absolutely lying when he said the dog tried to attack the guy. First off, the dog is not fully grown. It's still a puppy. And a person came into its yard, and so it came running up toward him with its big dumb tail wagging and its mouth open. That's not an attack.
Also notice that I believe as the owner said that the dog was not taken away because he wasn't being vicious. And
right.
Put two and two together, and who was taken away and who was being vicious.
Exactly.
All right, yeah, here's an oldie but a goodie. I got to play the DEA cop in the grade school shoots himself in the foot. This is an old one.
The only ones.
Okay, I'm the only one in this room.
All right, here we go.
50 Cent, Too Short, all of them talk about Glock 40s. Okay, I'm the only one in this room professional enough that I know of who carries a Glock 40.
I'm the only one in this room professional enough to carry this
boom.
Glock 40.
And he shoots himself in the foot.
After pointing it at a bunch of kids, too.
Yeah. And
they want to take our guns away. That's ridiculous.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is Mr. Michael Dean, broadcasting live and worldwide on a Shure Beta 57A microphone. And I am the only one in this room professional enough to wield a Beta 57A microphone from Shure, except for Ben Stone and Lucander Fien, who has a similar mic from Audio Technica. So that cop shooting himself in the foot, that's such an oldie but a goodie. That's got millions of hits on YouTube. We used it in the Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom movie. It has 2 million views on YouTube, and it's sort of become a meme in the gun world, because that cop says, I'm the only one in this room professional enough. He says that right before he shoots himself, and literally, like, shoots himself in the foot. Like, that's a phrase. Like, you know, when you fail at what you're trying to do, you've shot yourself in the foot. Well, he literally shot himself in the foot after saying basically that he was the only one in the room qualified to not shoot himself in the foot. And that's become a meme because of our friend David Kadria, who runs the War on Guns blog, He basically uses that only ones thing in a lot of headlines of blog posts, like, you know, when politicians are trying to outlaw free speech, he'll say they're the only ones free enough to have the First Amendment and things like that. The only ones has become a meme for it. Really is. A lot of politicians think they're the only ones that should have freedoms that should be available to everybody. You know, the press, the guns, the everything. So, guys, you got more on this?
The funny thing to me about that, the older of the two stories with the cop shooting himself, the guy talking to the students that says he's the only one professional, then pops himself. He, if you keep watching that to the end.
He didn't stop. He pulled out a rifle. He pulled out a rifle, man.
He continues to try to convince them how cool he is and that he's totally in control when he's clearly in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to let go of his little song and dance that he's doing.
Yeah.
And that just really shows the unbelievable arrogance of some people.
Yeah, and he's a DEA cop who was brought in to well, they probably bring themselves in. They probably like contact the schools and say, "We're going to come in and tell your kids why they shouldn't take drugs and have guns." And you know, I don't know how that works out. I don't know if it's invite, but I doubt any school would say no to it.
What really disturbs me, though, is the tendency of all people in government to immediately leap to a lie whenever something like this happens. Just like that spokesman for this current situation where the cop shot himself because he was because he was afraid of a puppy. I mean, that's really the situation. It was a adolescent dog, so it was a puppy, and it was, you know, large. What do you call large? What is a large dog? A fat chihuahua can be a large dog. So, you know, it was running at him, wagging its tail, probably had its big dumb tongue sticking out of its mouth, and he panicked because he's such a coward, and he shoots himself because he's bad gun handling characteristics. And then instead of just saying, "Hey, one of our cops messed up," no, they can't say that. They have to lie and say that the dog was attacking him.
Well,
when they
at least
the dog wasn't attacking.
Yeah,
him.
At least they didn't take the dog and kill it for being there,
which is typically what they do.
Yeah, yeah. Or his partner would shoot it. Typically, there's search on YouTube for cop shoots dog. There are hundreds of videos of cops shooting dogs. And if a dog attacked me on my own property, I'd probably pull a gun out. But it's a lot of times it's cops going places they don't belong, places they shouldn't be. Go, you know, serving warrants for things they shouldn't. I mean, that was an eviction notice. I don't know if it was legitimate or not. Some are, some aren't. But who knows? That cop had shot himself in the classroom. First of all, he literally swept the audience. Like, he was waving the gun around. He said it was not loaded. He didn't know it was loaded. He should know his gun's loaded. So he could have easily shot any of those little kids. It was like, you know, 12-year-old kids, classroom full of them. He swept it across the room, then pointed it up in the air. There's probably a classroom above him, you know. So he basically risked the lives of a bunch of kids, then shot himself in the foot. A ricochet could have killed a kid or put an eye out or maimed him for life. And then he kept going. And then that guy sued the DEA because that video got out. Like, for emotional distress. He sued the DEA for emotional distress because he shot himself in the foot. That's the government parasite class right there, man. And everything, anybody who works for the government, I believe, is just degrees away from that. We'll be back with more in Hour 2 of the Freedom Fiends with Ben Stone and Bad Quaker. Ben Stone and the Bad Quaker and Lucander Fiend.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Yeah. Worms.
Meow.
It's Michael Dean. It's Freedom Fiends. On Easter, on 2014, the day of our Lord. And we are the only ones righteous enough. No, we're not righteous. We are not righteous. There are none among us who are righteous. And if you are, you can cast the first stone. So, Ben, what you got, Ben?
Hey, it's and we should mention that we're broadcasting on 25 stations now.
Yeah, yep. And we would like to welcome a new station, WQXL. That's WQXL, 1470 AM, 95.9 FM in Columbia, South Carolina. That's pretty cool. And that is our 24th and 25th station. That rocks, man. I like this show. I wish my friend Nima Vidotti were here to enjoy this with me, but he's out. He was out yesterday. He'll be out Saturday, but he'll be back next Sunday for a very important announcement that all the fiends are going to want to tune into, because it is groundbreaking and one of the biggest things we've ever exposed here on the Freedom Fiends next Sunday, a week from today. So, Ben, you were talking about dead bankers, weren't you?
Yeah. We weren't actually talking about that in last hour, but you and I have been talking about it. There's some really interesting, it may be totally unrelated, it may be, you know, completely conspiracy theory stuff or whatever, but since January, there have been 12 fairly well-known bankers that have committed suicide in one form or another, and some of those are under very questionable circumstances. And then just this last week, there were two execution-style hits of a banker in Belgium and one in Liechtenstein. Yeah, where it was, the one in Liechtenstein was particularly gruesome. The gunman pulled up. The banker was walking down the street with his wife and little nephew, little child, and they pulled up. You know, Saint Valentine's Day Massacre, is that it?
Yeah,
where they just riddled them with bullets, and it was a horrific murder.
Were they dressed as Security and Exchange Commission goons? Because the Saint Valentine's Day Massacre, didn't they? The assassins come in dressed as cops,
yeah,
to defuse them. Which, you know, when cops kick in doors, they shouldn't kick in doors. If they got to talk to somebody, they should just talk to them. And usually the only reason they kick in doors is because they can, or because they think they're going to flush something that shouldn't be a crime anyway. And, you know, it makes sense that people shoot at the door when someone kicks it in. That's the smart thing to do, because I know where I lived in L.A., there was a rash of home invasions about the time we left, where people were like tied up and tortured and raped, you know, in front of their family members while they, you know, they didn't just come in, rob the house and leave, which is horrible enough. They came in and like moved in for a few hours and had their way with the people who lived there. And when they kicked in the door, they yelled police to like defuse anybody from doing anything like picking up a gun or calling the cops, you know?
And, you know, I've got an interesting statistic for you also. This comes from the National Review. According to National Review, there were over 50,000 SWAT raids in the U.S. in 2013 alone. Over 50,000 SWAT raids.
That's unreal.
And you got to keep in, and that's keeping in mind that there are paramilitary SWAT units now that are in the IRS, the Department of Education, the Department of Agriculture has its own SWAT units. The Railroad Retirement Board has their own SWAT units. The Tennessee Valley Authority, the Office of Personnel Management. The Office of Personnel Management has SWAT teams. The Consumer Product Safety Commission and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services all have SWAT teams.
Fish and Hogs. And the Fish and Hogs ones, the state Fish and Hogs ones, often use it. They go and Lou has firsthand experience. You want to tell us a little bit about what you know about Fish and Hogs Department guns from Michigan?
Well, as far as the Fish and Hogs go here, a number of farmers have gotten a lot of grief over the type of pigs that they have. And
they're racist. They don't like the brown pigs. They kill them.
Well, it's based upon physical characteristics like a curly tail or a straight tail.
So they're assault pigs if they have a straight tail, right?
Yeah, floppy ears or erect ears. And
the shoulder thing that goes up ears.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was a farmer here in Michigan that was just getting ground up in the gears of the state system.
Like sausage.
Yeah, basically. And he had a case against the DNR in the state of Michigan suing for clarification. It's amazing that you have to sue to clarify what the state of crats are doing. But the mouthpiece for the state went in there and he had requested that Mark's case be dismissed. And they said, well, we have no problem with Mark's pigs. You know, we don't feel that he falls underneath this declaratory ruling of ours and he's free to go. But he also threw in, but if we change our minds in the future, then it's fair game.
Wow.
You have people making these rules and making these laws that have absolutely no idea, you know, any of the specialized knowledge that people in that business have. Michael, you mentioned the insider joke of the shoulder thing that goes up, the shoulder part that goes up.
Yeah.
And that's an insider joke to a lot of the people in the gun world because some stupid, I can't even remember which one it was now, but some stupid politician actually made that reference.
Yeah, they asked her. She was co-authoring a bill, which, you know, doesn't really mean she wrote it. It means some lobbyist wrote it and handed it to her. She was co-sponsoring it and had co-authored it. And they handed, you know, they had her on TV and they said, "So you want to ban guns that have barrel shrouds? What's a barrel shroud?" And she said, "Well, it's the shoulder thing that goes up," which makes no sense, and it has nothing to do with a barrel shroud. Is the thing that you have usually on machine guns that kind of looks like a round sieve at the end. It's basically a heat sink for the gun, so you can it won't catch on fire, and so you can hold it. Maybe you probably can't even hold a barrel shroud on full auto, but it was just a ridiculous thing, and that's how they are. They get basically lobbyists who have a vested interest, like these pig. What's going on with the pig lobby there, Lou, in Michigan? You know this guy. You've been to his farm. What's going on with that? Why are they banning these pigs is what I'm asking.
Well, most likely it's trying to beat down the competition because there were about 2,000 farms that have 500 animals or less, which fall in the category of small farms. And I believe there is a farmer that's up in the Upper Peninsula that is still dealing with the same nonsense. I saw an article on it. I didn't go into it too in-depth. But basically, as Ben has talked about, there are two ways to make money. You can either work or you can commit robbery. And essentially, you know, politicians are selling favors.
So it's the big factory farms and the corporatist. We don't mind big business. We don't mind business. We love business. And even if it gets big, if it's honest, we're fine with it. But we're talking about corporations that have their own lobbyists, that own their own senators probably in some way or another, at least at the state level here maybe. You know, that's generally how it works in the past, historically. They basically say, we don't want these little family farms being in competition with us. We want the big, mechanized, injected with steroids, no free-range pigs. We want them all in little cages because it makes more money. And it doesn't make better meat, but, you know, they want to have no competition. You know, they don't believe in the free market. They want to put the little guy out of business, and they do it by outlawing ridiculous things like curly tails or straight tails on pigs.
Yeah, and a lot of people have a tendency to blame the lobbyists to say, oh, these lobbyists are parasites. The lobbyists would be a completely irrelevant point if the politicians did not have favors to sell in the first place. When buying and selling is controlled by legislation, the first thing to be bought and sold will be legislators.
Yeah, and if you live by the Constitution, you really can't complain about lobbyists, because it's a pretty clear interpretation of the First Amendment that you're the right to have to redress your government for grievances. Basically, that means lobbyists, you know, because there's too many humans for everyone to redress at once. So they have to do it collectively. And that's the problem with government. That's a problem with government. One of the many problems of there being government and a need for rulers.
Well, under the magic parchment, that also falls under the interfering with commerce clause.
Yeah, which is supposed to be called the Interstate Commerce Clause, or the Commerce Clause, which is what a lot of things are passed under in the United States. And we call it the Interfering with Interstate Commerce Clause, because originally the FBI came around, was formed to supposedly, their mission statement was to protect interstate commerce. But what they do mostly, and what the, you know, every once in a while they'll show like, yeah, we protected someone who was kidnapped and got him back, but most of what they do is things that would fall under the curly tail pig law, and this is true of every three-letter government agency ever. You know, all they do is interfere with interstate commerce.
Yeah, well, the FBI is also basically the domestic spy agency. That's what it was formed for, and that is what it has done. And, you know, yeah, you can say that that cops perform a service. If your cat gets stuck in a tree, they'll come knock it out with a stick or pepper spray it. But they are there to collect revenues. They are there to enforce the law. They are there to lock people up in cages and use violence and enforce.
Yeah.
And some people would say, well, if we just stick with the Constitution, if we get back to the Constitution, that would fix this. But that's not really a solution.
No, this
is
the Constitution. This is living under the Constitution.
Good and hard.
Yep. Want some government? Have some government.
Actually, Patrick Henry said to the Virginia Ratifying Convention on June of 1780, in June of 1788, he said, and this is a direct quote, "They will not reason with you about the effects of this Constitution. They will not take the opinion of this committee concerning its operation. They will construe it as they please." And that was his warning as to what would happen if they ratified the Constitution.
Yeah, the Anti-Federalist Papers have a lot of warnings against what would happen in the event of ratification, and they predicted just about everything that would happen.
Who was the author of those? It was a pseudonym, right? But who was it really, or who do people believe it was?
There were numerous authors on the Anti-Federalist Papers. The one that I mentioned yesterday, Brutus, is believed that he was a judge in New York State.
Were any of them the founding fathers?
Yeah, some of them were fairly famous, like Patrick Henry. That's on the anti-federalist.
He was an anarchist, though, and he fired the first shot. Didn't he fire the first shot in the war?
I think
we'll talk about that when we get back on the Freedom Fiends.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations, and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, this is Squisklar Squigelps from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah. And that's a toe-tapping little ditty I wrote and recorded with my band Right Arm of Wyoming. And it is called Would You Tar and Feather a Tax Collector? And, you know, I'm not suggesting anyone do that. It's just words. But Sam Adams, brewer, patriot, assassin. Go, Ben Stone. Tell us about the truth. The truth about Sam Adams.
It's speculated that Sam Adams may have instigated the actual shooting that took place at was it one of the bridges on
Lexington
the,
and Concord, I believe. It was the first shot in the Revolutionary War. There's a conspiracy theory that I kind of like. That see what they teach you in grade school. Well, they don't teach you about that in grade school anymore. But back when they did, because they don't want to inspire kids now to think that. It's okay to fire on
tyrants.
Yeah, and tax collectors. But they used to when I was a kid. And the story they taught me was that, you know, they waited, don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes. Well, actually, that was for conserving bullets. But it was that the American side, the Patriot side against the British side, that the Americans did not fire the first shot. And they like to tell this story to make it sound entirely like self-defense. But there is some evidence that Sam Adams, brewer and patriot, actually was in a boarding house up in a window on the second floor and fired the first shot as a sniper shot just to get things going. What's the evidence, Ben?
It's mostly just story based. There's no hard evidence on it. Although there's plenty of hard evidence, you know, that many of those people that are referred to as founding fathers were very anti-government, whether it be, you know, government from London or government or tyranny based here, you know, in the United States. Yeah. And before the break, I quoted Patrick Henry. I've got another line from him here. This is to the Virginia Ratifying Convention in June of 1788. And a warning as to why the Constitution would fail to regulate government. He said, and this is a quote, "Show me that age and country where the rights and liberties of the people were placed on the sole chance of the rulers being good men without a consequent loss of liberty." And what he was trying to tell them in that convention is that you simply cannot write words on a paper and then expect people in power in government to obey those the way you expect them to do. It's their very nature. If I think it was Tolkien that said that if anybody would want to be, a ruler like that, that alone is evidence that they don't deserve to be. They can't be trusted to be that.
Yeah. I think Lou's allergic to government. I think that's why he was sneezing.
Yeah. Let me play statist advocate here.
Okay.
But Ben, the wise founding fathers were these Christ-like figures that did no wrong. And yeah, sure, they owned slaves, but it was a different time.
Yeah, there's always excuses made for their bad behavior and lies made up to, you know, stories like, you know, George Washington was so honest that his father said, "Who cut down this cherry tree?" And George Washington said, "I cannot tell a lie. It was I." Except the problem with that story is
never
George
happened.
Washington's, yeah, his father died when he was an infant and he was raised by his brother. Yeah. So the odds are he had no memory of his father whatsoever.
Yeah.
And yet that was told as a campaign slogan for him.
I have a Patrick Henry quote for you.
What?
"Is life so dear or peace so sweet to be as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery?" At the price of chains and slavery. Gee, I think the founding lawyers knew that slavery was wrong even back then.
Yeah, and the thing is, most Americans that respect the Constitution have a very limited view of it. It's and the founding fathers, they were not a homogeneous group of angels sent down from heaven on a golden unicorn. They were a bunch of bickering guys. Some of them hated each other. They totally disagreed. Some of them totally disagreed on things. Some of them were a little more liberty-minded than others. Some were really horrible. And one of the ones that was really horrible is George Washington, who's usually looked at like a saint in the religious annals of the state as it's retold in those kind of schoolyard-type parables. He was a bad guy, and he here's all you need to know about George Washington. Within 12 years of the revolutionary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, George Washington imposed a tax on whiskey makers because George Washington was a whiskey maker. He didn't want competition, and he wanted to rob a bunch of vets from the war that we just fought. They just fought against England, and they didn't want to pay the tax, and he killed them.
A beverage tax.
Yeah, a beverage tax. Like they have in New York. Like all the people hate in New York. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Meowbit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. Meowbit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address and our free software, Meowbit. Go to meowbit.com. That's meowbit.com. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
You know, the most libertarian thing you can do for under $15 is get yourself an engraver and carve your name on all your stuff. Yep.
So I guess he wasn't shaving.
No, I was using a diamond-tipped engraver to carve my name into all my audio gear. Yeah. Which, you know, there's an article about that and a link to a good one that costs like $15 with shipping. The link is on creamyradioaudio.com, which is my how to make good audio website. And I just made some really horrible sounding audio on the radio while demonstrating that fact. I just carved my name into my mixer, my preamp, my power conditioner, and during pretty soon I'll just mute me and let you guys talk, and I'll carve it into the Comrex itself, which is the thing that we connect to the to the network with. And, you know, it is a very libertarian thing because it's declaring your property rights, which is what libertarianism is basically based on, property rights. It's carving your property name into your property to declare your rights, which would make it easier to get it back if it's stolen. You know, the cops will probably never get your stuff back if you're stolen, and sometimes people call the cops when they get ripped off, and the cops end up coming over and beating them up for something. That has happened. But if you carve your name into it, you might get it back, man. You might be able to go to the pawn shop and buy it back cheap. You might be able to get the pawn, you know, you might be able to put the word out that it's out there. And who knows? You might end up at somebody's house that somebody you know knows, and they can steal it back for you. And I would have no problem with that. I'm not recommending anyone do anything illegal, but you got to lean off. This is a teaching hospital. You got to lean off the mic by several feet if you're going to cough. I know you're allergic to the government, Lou. I know it makes you cough and sneeze. But all right, so we were talking about Sam Adams, brewer, patriot, and shooter of redcoats and starter of wars. And we kind of like that guy. Of all the founding fathers, he's one of the groovier ones.
Speaking of founding fathers, I've got an quotes that I've been throwing out there. I've got a chunk of a letter from Richard Henry Lee to George Mason, dated October 1st, 1787, in reference to the Constitution. He called it the deviousness of Congress's action. Richard Henry Lee and George Mason both were very much against having a constitution and setting up a federal government. Also, since I'm throwing names of so-called founding fathers, Samuel Bryan was one of the authors, or we believe he was one of the authors of the Anti-Federalist Papers, and he wrote on October 5th, 1787, he said that the Constitution was, quote, a most daring attempt to establish a despotic aristocracy.
Wow.
He said that it was written, and this is in quotes, for the interest of the well-born few. And he was speaking specifically about people like Washington and...
So he was basically the... Who wrote this? Who said this?
Samuel Bryan.
Yeah, he was basically the first Occupy Wall Street guy. He was complaining about the 1%.
Yeah, William Findlay wrote on November 6th, 1787, he said that the writers of the Constitution were a set of aspiring despots who will make us all slaves.
And despot means king or ruler, or, you know, ruler not by any kind of democracy or of the people.
Lou, you were reading an article recently about somebody that said America was turning into something or other. What was that?
Yeah, there's a recent study, and I believe it's going to be published this fall officially, even though I think it's available. I did see a PDF of it, and it's from a couple of professors, I believe it is, at Princeton and Northwestern University. And essentially what they are asserting is that the U.S. has turned into an oligarchy. And Ben, could you tell us what an oligarchy is?
Well, it's not good.
It sounds like ogre. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. The actual definition is rule by the few. So instead of a democracy, which is referred to as mob rule, you have a republic or an oligarchy, which is a rule by the few. And to give you a little example of it, in a democracy, the people loot each other directly with their votes. In a republic, the violence is outsourced to the representatives that make up the oligarchy.
We could get into a little bit of tinfoil hat stuff here, too, without going too deep.
My hat is aircraft-grade titanium, not tinfoil.
Well, actually, that's one of my pet peeves, because I have never seen tinfoil. I've seen aluminum foil, but I've never seen tin foil. Tin is a specific metal, and I usually correct people on that one, because, you know, I'm a geek like that.
You have an aluminum foil hat?
Yeah.
All right, let's all put on our aluminum foil hats and listen to Uncle Ben. Go ahead, Ben.
Okay, so now this is not new. It's been covered by mainstream media, including like the New York Times and some others. But the current president, Barack Hussein Obama, is related to George Bush, He, like George Bush, he is a descendant of Samuel Hinckley. Yes, it's that Hinckley family. I'm reading right out of my notes from my last podcast.
The Hinckley who shot
exactly Reagan. Ronald Reagan. Same family. Actually, John Hinckley, who shot Ronald Reagan, was his brother had dinner with the Bushes the night before. George W. Bush is Obama's 11th cousin. Lyndon Johnson is Obama's 4th cousin. Harry Truman is his 7th cousin. Jimmy Carter is his 8th cousin. Gerald Ford is his 10th cousin. Obama is descended from Richard Fitzalan, the 10th Earl of, 8th Earl of Surrey.
My problem with all this is, even if it's true, I don't think this proves that there is a family lineage in ruling America. I mean, when you get to like 10th cousins, there's probably a good chance that you and I are 10th cousins, Ben.
I have actually, my aunt and my sister have chased out our lineage
genealogy,
quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not related to any presidents at all.
My dad's done that. And the coolest thing he told me was that he told me two really cool things. One was that my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather fought in the American side on the Revolutionary War and got a musket ball in his leg and carried it with him until he died like 40 years later. That's pretty cool. And he told me that, and like that, we know the guy's name. It was Joseph Cornish. But he also told me at one point that he found a dean that he didn't know if it was related to us or not, a dean who had committed regicide. And I tried to find this dean, and I was like, that was the one that interested me the most. Regicide is the killing of a king. And there's been a lot of regicide. You know you're special when there's a special name for the murder of your class appointed by God. And one of my favorite references of regicide is there's a Simpsons that's based on Rear Window, the movie, where the guy's got his foot in a cast and he's stuck in his hot apartment all summer and he's spying on his neighbors and he witnesses a murder. And there's one where Bart has a cast and he thinks he witnesses a murder. He thinks he hears Flanders kill his wife, but he doesn't actually. He hears him kill a plant and scream like a lady. And he scrambles over to the telephone, hobbles over with his broken leg, picks it up, dials 911, and the recording says, "You have reached the Springfield Police Department emergency phone line. If you know the name of the crime being committed, please press 1. And he presses 1, and it says, "Please spell the name of the first three letters of the crime so we can better service you." And Bart's frustrated and like trying to get through to a person, and he just mashes numbers randomly on the keypad, and it says, "You have selected regicide. If you know the name of the king or queen being murdered," and then Bart just hangs up.
Oh, don't you love The Simpsons?
I do. I really do.
Now, since I have my tinfoil fishing cap on right now,
yeah,
I believe there was a study done and it showed that only 3 of the U.S. Presidents were not descended from royal bloodlines or whatever.
Now, how is Obama related to any of these people? Because his dad was from Africa. It must be through his mother then.
Well, yeah, oddly enough, Obama had a mother. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the interesting thing is, theory. The thing is that's weird, too, is Obama kind of came to power on this, he's a friend of the black man. And the thing is, he is not descended of slaves. His dad is from Africa. Obama is descended from the people who sold other black people into slavery in Africa and put them on the Dutch boats and sent them over here.
That's quite a thought.
It sounds true. I read it on the internet. I'm going to stick with it. I have confirmation. It's on the internet.
It has to be true.
Yeah. But his dad is from Africa, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He is from Kenya.
Yeah.
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 Hey, speaking of slavery and the magic parchment, let me read a little piece for you.
Sure, man.
No person held to service or labor in one state under the laws thereof, escaping into another, shall in consequence of any law or regulation therein be discharged from such service or labor, but shall be delivered up on claim of the party to whom such service or labor may be due. That's Article 4, Section 2, Clause 3 of the magic parchment. And
is that about getting runaway slaves back?
Yeah, right. that That would be fugitive slave laws. It doesn't use the term fugitive slave law, but that's what it's about. And there was a further codification into law in 1793. And then, of course, there's the one, the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850, that most people reference, which incidentally was nullified by Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin.
When people say we got to get back to the Constitution, since it is a I don't like to use the word living document, because that pokes a lot of people's hornet's nest, but since it is a document that has been changed in meaning many, many, many times, what is the point they want to get back to? You know, is it after the slaves are freed and before alcohol is outlawed, or which exact date do they want to get back to?
Go
ahead, Lou.
Most people want to get back to the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, because that's the only thing they've read.
Yeah, but there were still slaves after that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true, but they considered a kinder, gentler slavery. And if it wasn't for Articles 1 through 7, Amendments 1 through 10 would be completely unnecessary.
Yeah, I like the Constitution. I would just like to strip it down to Congress shall make no law, and that's it.
A lot of people who call themselves constitutionalists, I know we've talked about this on the show before, but a lot of people who call themselves constitutionalists don't know what part is actually the Constitution and what part is the actual amendments, because the Constitution is one thing and the Bill of Rights and the amendments are an entirely different part of the document.
Yeah, but it's kind of confusing too, because the word the Constitution can mean either the thing before any amendments, it can mean the thing plus the Bill of Rights, which is the first 10 amendments, or it can mean the whole thing with everything that's happened since. Like, to most people, I mean, to the law, it's as it exists today with whatever the last amendment was, which I think was about robin's eggs on the White House lawn.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
It's The Freedom Fiends. End of the show. Redemption in the third act. And you know, we have top men working on that.
Working on it right now.
Spoiler alert.
We have top men working on it right now. Who? Top men.
Freedom Fiends! Tweaking with you. Tweaking with you. Tweaking with you. Yeah.
Freebird! Play Freebird, dude. Freebird.
There is no Freebird. Somebody always has to pay.
It's time for the Freedom Fiends tweak and review. And since
Free Willy.
Since Nima Vidotti's not here again.
Free Nima.
Free, he's in Gitmo. in the Gitmo of, yeah. All right. He's Lou is gonna do the tweak and review. Go, Lou.
Okay, Nima will be back next Sunday. He has signed the social contract. He's just waiting for a certified notary to come down there.
Yeah.
What did we learn today? We learned don't do drugs on Easter Eve if you have a family member that is slightly sadistic. You will get the stuffing scared out of you. We also talked about Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, which will be going on this August. If you want more information on that, you can go to MIPLC.org. That's Mike, India, Papa, Lima, Charlie.org. If you want to take individual liberty for a test drive, come on out, check it out. Early registration is going on right now and is very affordable. We also talked about the only ones. The only ones that are capable of using firearms and shooting themselves in the foot, in the leg, and everything else. A nice, friendly little pit bull puppy was being attacked by a cop, and the good cop stopped himself, the bad cop, by shooting himself in the leg. We also talked about the constitutional oligarchy and what it has devolved into. So, yeah. What
was,
else we
that,
want?
That was not silver. That was the giant 12-inch nails we got on Easter for reinforcing our fence.
Trent Reznor has a new band. It's called 12-inch nails. It is the advancement from 9-inch nails.
It's got this much more nails. This nail goes to 12.
Yet another movie reference there.
Yep. What else we got? What else are we tweaking in review about?
Well, we found out that the founding lawyers were not these kind, gracious, Christ-like figures that we've been indoctrinated to believe. They were slave owners, even though they talk bad about owning slaves. We know that the Anti-Federalists predicted the oligarchy that would come about, and Michigan has triggered the Article 5 convention by being the 34th state. So if you think 1787 was bad, just wait until you see the next one.
Yeah, and that's some talk show host who's trying to get the Constitution amended to try to make it more libertarian, less tyrannical, but it's actually going to make it more tyrannical. You want to tell us a little bit about that, Lou?
Yeah. Well, it's Mark Levin wrote a book called The Liberty Amendments, and I haven't read it. My understanding is
that we always review books we haven't read on the Freedom Fiends. Go ahead.
My understanding is that it's very Orwellian in its title, and they use Newspeak, and it's actually the Tyranny Amendments. But a lot of these good constitutionalists have this idea that these wise founding fathers will materialize from somewhere, and they will come in, they will make a proper constitutional, conservative new constitution. But the state of Hawaii has called for putting stuff in like Obamacare, making that constitutional, taking away the Second Amendment, restricting free speech.
Yeah, and Hawaii, think about how Hawaii joined the union. Basically, some fruit companies wanted a place to grow pineapple and sent the U.S. military in to attack a foreign sovereign nation and steal it and make it into a pineapple growing place for one or two companies. You know, that's what happened. That's why Hawaii is a state.
Well, they had to invade it to see what was inside of it. Yeah. But anyway. So.
Anyway, you can finish up. We got a few seconds.
Okay. The one thing that we can agree on is the Constitution has authorized such a government as we have had or has been completely, utterly powerless to prevent it.
Yep. And happy Easter. Spend time with your church, with your family, with anything except worshiping the state. Because when you put the state before God, you're kicking God off the throne. And if you love God, don't kick God off the throne. This has been the Freedom Fiends. Worms.
Worms.
Meow, meow,
Thank
meow.
You for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.